Welcome to Mox on the Mic, your exclusive look into all things Chattanooga athletics. Here's your host, Chris Goforth.
Welcome in this week to Mox on the Mic. Chris Goforth with you as we get you set now for football season. We'll begin our previews starting this week, leading up to a conversation on game week with the head coach of the Mox and Rusty Wright. So that is still to come. Today, we're going to take a little look at the Chattanooga defense. Lorenzo Ward, the Mox defensive coordinator, will be with us. And Devontae Maxwell, a guy that is quickly climbing all the defensive statistical charts, especially when it comes to tackles for loss and quarterback sacks here at UTC. Native of Valdosta, Georgia. We'll talk a little bit with him as well. Let's start things off, though, the conversation with the defensive coordinator for the Chattanooga Mox and Lorenzo Ward. We talk a little bit about this Mox defense. I think you'll be really encouraged when you hear what he has to say about his defensive line. He'll also give us a little Steve Spurrier story before we finish up. Lorenzo Ward joins us this week on Mox on the Mic. Coach, I feel like we start every year with a conversation about Devontae Maxwell and how good that he can be. Preseason player of the year. We've seen him be pretty dominant. What have you seen from him from a growth standpoint in his play from last year, now going into this year?
Well, I think he's tried to put himself in a position where there were times when, you know, Devontae, he's done really well here, but I still think he had another step that he could go to be really, really dominant. And I think what he's done this offseason with his body and with his conditioning, I think he's ready to take that step. He should dominate guys in this league every single down. And so that's where I think the growth for him, and especially with him wanting to have the opportunity to play on that level, that's what I think he's going to have to put on video this season.
Who's the next guy on that defensive line that's ready to take that next step? Because it seems like you've always got that one guy, but then there's somebody else waiting in the wings. Who's that guy now that we're going to start hearing a lot more about?
You know, that's a hard decision, and that's a good thing for us because you know, we got a lot of depth up front. You know, we just finished our OTAs last week and is off for a couple of days, but we possibly have 12 defensive linemen that we can rotate in a ball game here. And that's unheard of for a school of this size and the talent level not be a big drop off when they end the game. You know, I think Christian Smith will have a great season. Ben Bruton, Jay Person. We got several transfers that are in here that have shown us, you know, not in pass yet, which is, I'm excited to see them in pass, but they're athletic. And so, you know, guys like John Prince, we got a lot of guys that, you know, we feel really, really good about that up front, that if we put them in the ballgame, that's not going to be a huge drop off when Devontae need a break or Jay Person need a break. We got a young man that's transferred from Washington State named Freeman. And so any of those guys could be the next breakout guy. There's a guy that you all will hear a lot about that's going to play behind Devontae is a guy named O'Shea, came from Old Dominion. And he looks the part. I'm excited to see him in the pads. He looks like a pro football player.
Are you ready to have 12 defensive linemen? I mean, have you ever had that kind of depth before?
This is the closest, I would say, when I was DCA for Spurrier, when we had Clowney, we had Melvin Ingram, we had those guys, Devin Taylor and all those guys. We didn't have 12. We probably had 8. This is the closest thing to a dominant group of guys that when you look from 1 to 12, that's not a huge drop off. And that's very exciting.
What does having Ty Beck back for another season mean?
He runs the defense. Ty makes the calls. Ty gets the defense set. He gets the front set. To have that experience back, it makes you feel good as a coordinator that your front seven is all going to be on the same page. And Ty is that guy.
You got Ty. You got Cam Jones. You got a couple of guys. There's some pretty good genes in that group, right? I mean, you got a couple of guys whose dads were both pretty good players. How much of a benefit has that been to have guys like that that have had fathers that have been through this before, that know what it takes, not just to play, but to excel?
Well, I think that's a big bonus because most kids that you recruit to your college or university, that's not the case. And these guys were blessed to have parents that did it, and especially in Ty Beck's case, did it here. And so I think, to carry on their family legacy is huge for them, and to be as good as they could possibly be, I think that's a great motivating factor for a guy like Ty Beck to play at the program that his father played at and try to be as good a player as he can be. And, Ty I'm very excited about Ty Beck and his upcoming senior year. I think it'll be I can't say a breakout season for him because he's done really, really well already, but I think he'll be even better this season. The best thing I think to have him to Ty was Cam was out this spring. So we moved Ty to Mike to get Bo, who's a young linebacker, some more experience at will. And I think by Ty playing Mike linebacker, he really understands the total scheme of what we're doing. So it's going to help him be an even better will linebacker for us this season.
You lost some guys out of that DB group, in particular at safety. How do you go about replacing a couple of guys that played a lot of football for you?
And that's the part that we went into spring ball to find. And, coming out of spring ball, we're not especially experience-wise or talent. We might be more talented, but we don't have the experience. And so we just got to get their experience caught up to what their talent says that this group of defensive backs are going to bring to this defense this fall. The great thing about playing DB, if you're good up front, you don't have to cover them very long. And so that's the equaling factor for us as coaches on this defense is, we know day in and day out that no particular quarterback should have a long time to get rid of football. And, so a lot of our philosophy in this perimeter is going to be keep them in front. Don't let them behind you, because if we have to make them earn it, then that's going to be in our favor. We just can't give up, drop back, quarterback catch it, and throw it, and it's a big play. If we can limit those situations, then I think this young secondary will have a chance to develop and be a great group, but it's going to take them having experience. You lose four of your five stars in secondary. They all were seniors, and so it's hard to replace that, but I think we have a chance because we're so good up front.
I feel like we know a lot about your guys already. What's the biggest question mark that you have?
Just playing experience. How they're going to react when they, a lot of times some of these guys that are playing now that's going to have to play for us this fall played, but they played in sparing roles when the game was might have been out of control, that type deal. How are they going to react when they got to start and when that game is on the line is a tough, hard-nosed game, we're struggling on offense, and we need to play great on defense, how they're going to react. So the experience part of that, that's the thing that I'm concerned about, how they're going to react when the light's on and they're the guy. Because it's different being a backup than it is being a starter.
New rule in college football, no blocking below the waist outside the tackle box. you're going to face a couple of option teams in the Southern Conference every year. Do you like this new rule?
I love it. The DBs love it too. You know, if they're not in the box, they can't get cut. So even the receivers out on the perimeter can't cut them. So it used to be if a guy was hit up to you, he'd cut you in the perimeter, but they ain't going to get cut. That's the rule. They just, it made the game better for defensive player in that sense, because it's man on man now. They got to block me. They got to block me head up. They got to block me staying high. They can't chop me. And so I think most athletic guys, the one thing they worry about is people getting on their legs. That shouldn't be a concern of theirs because of the new rule.
That's maybe one of the few, if not maybe the only rule in the last, 20 or so years, Coach, that hasn't gone in favor of the offense. They finally made a rule that that kind of helps you guys out defensively. It's been a while since you've
had
one of
those. Very, very true. That's a true statement. Most of the rules are for the offensive side of the ball, which I understand because people pay to see people score points, but this is one rule that benefits defenders.
How much have you guys talked about that? Is that something you're talking about and coaching during practice now?
Well, we're definitely, because both sides of the ball, you have to coach it. Because, you know, if a receiver was taught in the past and he'd been doing it for 3 years, or that he could go downfield and chop someone, well, they have to break that habit. So we have to constantly coach it on both sides of the ball. Hey, defense, he can't do that. Offensive guy, you can't do it because of the penalty against the offense now. So we all have to harp on that on both sides of the ball.
Before we let you go, Coach, your best Steve Spurrier story that you can repeat.
My best Steve Spurrier story that I can repeat. Okay. It's Christmas morning, 2011. I get a call from Coach Spurrier, and he said, Whammy. They call me Whammy. You're not working out today. I said, well, Coach, I have. We went to the gym earlier in the morning, and he said, oh, okay, good. He said, well, I had just been named interim defense coordinator going into the bowl game. Ellis had just took the job at Southern Mississippi, and he said, I don't want to wait till the bowl game is over. We're getting ready to play Nebraska in the Capital One Bowl in Orlando. He said, I'm going to go ahead and name you full-time coordinator. He said, but that's a lot of responsibility with this job. I said, Coach, I understand. He said, no, you don't understand. I said, sure I do, Coach. He said, no, you don't. And I said, well, explain it to me. He said, well, you can't drink brown liquor. And I was trying to figure out what that had to do with me being a coordinator. He said, brown liquor make people mean. You can't drink brown liquor to be the defensive coordinator of South Carolina. I said, well, if that's the case, I can't drink brown liquor, Coach. So I've never got to the end of what happened with that. Why he thinks that something must have happened in the past. I don't know, but that's the only thing he told me.
Coach, I appreciate the time, man. Always great to be able to visit with you, and looking forward to seeing your guys on the field against Wofford in a couple of weeks.
I am too. I'm excited about it, and I appreciate y'all having me on.
Hey, thanks to Coach Ward for giving us a little bit of time. Devontae Maxwell, he's having a stellar career here at UTC. He is the Southern Conference's preseason Defensive Player of the Year. He has been all-conference. He's been an All-American, and he's back for his final season in a Chattanooga uniform, and we got the chance to catch up with Devontae Maxwell. Well, Devontae, three-time All-Conference, two-time All-American, preseason Defensive Player of the Year. What do you think about all these awards when they come your way?
I think I'm blessed. I think a lot of people don't get a chance to be recognized. A lot of people don't grow or work how I worked coming out of high school to be in the position I'm in. So when I hit those I just feel blessed.
How's your summer been? What have you been up to?
It's been great. I've been working out, living a little, having fun with my family and my nephew, and just enjoying it, enjoying my last summer in college. So it's been fun.
Can you talk a little bit about, you mentioned you coming out of high school. Can you talk a little bit about the path from Valdosta to Chattanooga?
Yeah. So my path probably was different from a lot of people's. I didn't have a lot of D1 and FCS offers. I only had two coming out of high school. I had mostly Division II offers. And every time I get an interview, people ask me, well, how is that even possible? To be honest, I don't really know. I just know I feel like it was meant for me to be here at the end of the day, because I genuinely feel like I probably could have been anywhere else, but Chattanooga came late in the process. Like, I want to say right before signing day, maybe 2 weeks, a week before signing day, and they won me over, and I ended up in Chattanooga.
Who was the other school that offered you?
Eastern Illinois. Crazy story, I didn't get to Eastern Illinois. The reason I got the Chattanooga offer was because DeMarcus Covington was coaching at Eastern Illinois, and he came over to UT Chattanooga, and he offered me here.
You've graduated with a psychology degree. What do you want to do with that one day?
I want to end up getting into marriage and family therapy eventually, when it's all said and done.
You hope to have a few more years of playing football, though, right?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Whenever I get tired of hitting people, I get into a little therapy.
What do you feel like you need to improve on for you to be able to get that shot at the next level?
Everything, if you ask me. I never feel like I'm good enough. I never feel like I've arrived. So somebody telling me I do this good, I do that good, well, I'm going to go look at what, if I get off the ball well, it can be better. If I use my hands well, it can be better. If I rush the passer well, it can be better. So I just feel like everything I do can always be better. So everything.
You guys were really good defensively a year ago. You're having to replace some guys this year, but how good can this defense be?
This defense could be the same caliber as last year. We had a lot of guys from our front seven returning. We may have a few guys on the back end that are new, but those guys won't miss a step. They were shadowing the guys that left. So I feel like we'll be the same, if not better, this season.
Coach Ward says you guys go 12 deep across the defensive line. There has been quite a run on great defensive linemen there over the years at UTC. Tell me, who's the next Devonshea Maxwell? Who's the guy coming on we need to know about?
I got to go Quay Wiggles. Quay Wiggles, young guy. He buying in. I can see it every day. He getting better. He getting stronger. He getting bigger. I can see it. Quay Wiggles.
Early on.
You got about three, though. You got Marlon Taylor as well. Marlon Taylor's pretty good.
Early on, you got a chance to play with Isaiah Mack and Derek Mahaffey, two guys that really good players. What kind of an impact did they have on you as a freshman?
The biggest impact out of anybody I met my freshman year, those guys showed me the ropes, showed me how to work, showed me what great players look like, and showed me that it wasn't just showing up and playing football. It was more to it. It was more to understanding blocks, stances, which way the running back is set in the backfield, how deep is the running back set, when does the quarterback snap the ball, how does the center lean when it's run, how does the center lean when it's passed. Just a bunch of that come from those guys. It helped me a lot to be who I am. And then also trying to compete with those guys. Those guys are always made me want to be better than those guys. And Isaiah is in the NFL, and Derek was amazing at recognizing plays and where the running back was. So just competition with those guys, and those guys showing me the ropes.
Third all-time in sacks at UTC. Is there a record here you want before you leave, or do you even think about those things?
Yeah, for sure, because records are like goals, and they drive me. So I really want to be number one in sacks before I leave Chattanooga.
you see Cole Strange go in the first round of the draft. Is that motivation?
Yeah, for sure. Because I saw the work Cole put in. I was here when Cole wasn't the Cole Strange that everybody knows. I was here when Cole Strange was just like me, maybe a little better as a young guy. But I mean, he was just like me. We worked against each other for years, and we got better together. And I see the work that he put in to become a first round draft pick. So I like his story. He's a great guy, and I'm proud of him.
You feel like you helped him, you made him better?
Yeah, and he made me better. Me, him, and McClendon would go at it every day.
You face this offense a lot in practice. Scout this offense for us a little bit. Tell us what you think we're going to see from a Chattanooga offense this year.
A lot of big run plays. You know, we still got a limb for it. A lot of pancakes from McClendon and those guys up front. You got Ty Walker and receiver core is still amazing. We got Preston and Cole Copeland. Preston, big play guy. Cole Copeland, it's kind of quiet with it, but hey, he'll give you 350 passing yards quick. So, I mean, I feel like we have an explosive offense this season, and I'm ready to see what they do.
How excited are you to get this thing underway, get camp underway, and get the season going?
Yeah, I'm extremely excited. Like I just said, it's my last season. It's my last go around. You only get to be in college one time. So I'm excited to spend my last one with these guys that I'm around, try to make something happen for them.
Devon Shea, appreciate it, man.
You're welcome.
Thanks to both Coach Ward and Devon Shea Maxwell for giving us some time this week. Thanks to you for joining us as well. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review Mox on the Mic. We do appreciate your 5-star ratings and your reviews as well. Hopefully, you'll make plans to be with us next week. We're talking offense. Offensive coordinator Joe Pizzo will be with us. Running back Alim Ford will join us as well. So make plans to join us then. Until then, for our producer, Tate Johnson, I'm Chris Goforth saying so long and go Mox.
Thanks for listening to Mox on the Mic. Please remember to rate, subscribe, and review. And we'll see you again soon.